It is time for another edition of the At Your Service podcast, part of the Branson Podcast Network. I'm Scott McCauley. It's very happy. I'm very happy that you're here with us today. We've got some great information coming up. And if you've not been on our Branson Podcast Network page lately, and first off, we thank you for joining us here today. But make sure once you get through listening to our podcast, and we always say, please listen to us first, because we got a lot of things to get information to get to you here. But we've got a lot of other great shows we would love for you to check out here on our Branson Podcast Network. But At Your Service is kind of one of the foundation shows. It was the first one. Of course, we did this on radio for many, many years. We will not name the number of years, because if we do that, then both yours truly and Monica Miller from the Stone County Health Department and the Stone County Community Health Coalition, we might have to start giving age numbers. And Monica, we really, really don't want to do that, do we?
Yeah, we're almost at 10 years though, Scott. I know. I'm just going to throw us under the bus immediately.
Yeah. Well, but here's the funny thing. For the At Your Service podcast, you were kind of, because we actually started, when we ended the radio show, we actually, with not only you, but also the Taney County Health Department and our friends at the Missouri Department of Conservation, kind of started the podcast series.
And we piloted your program, Scott. Yes. Wow. So, who would have known that we would be captain of ships?
I know. People that know us would be scared about that, but it is true. You know, the Stone County Community Health Coalition, that's probably a good reason this has been a good pilot program for our podcast series, is because what we do here is we have a lot of different entities come together to give information out, and that's kind of what the coalition does. You get a lot of different entities together to help support health awareness and to support a lot of programs in the area, and this coalition just continues to purr run along.
Yes, and one of our greatest partners is the C of O Nursing Program. Started the partnership a long time ago with Dr. Smith, and then is it Dr. Hammond? Well, Mrs. Hammond, and almost Dr. T. and basically, it's just really moved along where we've decided, you know what, we really need to highlight our youth. They're our future. And to have students from an amazing college right here in our backyard and have them come not only work with us and help us, but highlight their talents and their strengths and their spirit of wellness holistically in this kind of venue has just been amazing.
And when you've been around as long as I have, over 30 years here, and you tend to, there's a lot of programs going on now that we've had a chance to see from the beginning, and College of the Ozarks Nursing Program is one of those, and it's been a treat to see how much it has grown, and we're really going to build them up, because when they do end up doing their presentations here a little bit later on, we don't want anyone to be disappointed, because they're going to do a great job.
They're amazing.
But we also want to do here in our first segment, this is our first one of the school year. I think the last time we got together was just before school, so we probably need to get caught up on some of the activities of the coalition, what's going on.
Yes, good thinking, Scott. So we did have a booth at the Crane Broiler Fest, and it was broiling there. I mean, it was really something.
They didn't need any fires for the chicken, didn't they? They just set them on the ground and they go.
We've had fans, and we finally gave away our fans, and they went really well. So that was really exciting. We had several people stop by. Of course, we were partnered with Stone County Health Department, and they had their water display, which is a little scary sometimes looking at how the testing can come out if you're not aware of your well water or swim beaches.
Well, and we had, and her name eludes me, was here last month with us.
Yes, right? Missy from our environmental department.
We talked a lot about that.
Yes, we did. So that was kind of neat that they could display that. We also got to attend many, many back-to-school fairs and teacher fairs, and that was wonderful. We were really well-received at Reed Spring with their teacher fair. We had the regulation rings to kind of help people with anxiety, and people really love those. So we need to get a lot more of those.
And this is, I mean, it is the start of the school year, so the health department itself had all the, you know, doing the back-to-school shots, doing all this.
Yes.
It just rolled around, didn't it?
Lots and lots of shots. Our medical mobile unit went out. That was really exciting. We are really excited. Stone County Health Department and the Coalition are going to be a part of Galena's Fair on the Square, which is coming up on the 29th and 30th of September. And we get to kind of lead the Student Enrichment Day. So that's a great coalition activity as well.
And of course, Galena is another one of those organizations that the public health class, that's part of this, what I call the triangle of partners that come in on this program. We start with College of the Ozarks. We'll have Galena kind of in the winter months. And then as we get to spring, GoCaps.
So. Exactly. So we always try to highlight our youth. And then we do for 3 months during the summer, try to just really highlight our agencies like Fordland or Elevate Branson in the past, so many places.
And what was a genius, we did something really ingenious this summer. We actually highlighted the health department.
Yes, right. That was the first time. Well, yeah, really that happened.
I think it was the first time, in 2 years that Pam had been here, because I know she'd been
right,
really busy. Yeah, but she
COVID swamped her. It was, and now the building. But at least we got to kind of catch people up on our building project. So that's going really well.
Monica, I know. Last month, we really talked about this at length, but let's maybe give a review real quick for maybe people that hadn't heard that podcast. And if they haven't, please go back and listen to it after we're done, because there's a lot of great information. But let's kind of remind them where the new facility is going to be.
So it is going to be at the corner of 13 and Old Wilderness Drive. And I always just kind of say that's where you turn to go to the Humane Society,
right,
or at least that's the way I go. And our sign is up now, so it looks phenomenal. We have a great superintendent on that site. And he is a little hustler. So most people, you know, on these big, big projects, they're under delays. We're ahead, if not right on deadline. So we should be ready to go January 1st. I thought it'd be pushed back to the spring, but I don't want to jinx it. But it's really coming along and is phenomenal.
So you went through the whole spiel and then you said, but I don't want to jinx it.
Right. I know. Backwards thinking.
Well, we don't usually do that, but we might do some editing on this podcast.
Okay. Please do. Please do.
We don't want
as much as you want or need.
Or we can do what Pam told us to do last night, continue to knock on wood. So I'll once a week I'll knock on my head and see if we can do it.
We're good.
What is that going to mean when that all gets done? I mean, that's going to be such a great benefit to the health department. You're really at a good centralized location. I know Galena is going to stay open a few days a week, but man, just having everything in one site.
Well, one site, and then also really having it where we're not paying rent. Because even as a person, whether it's business or personal, I think paying rent is always difficult, because it just seems it's great for the landowner. But for the person who is paying the rent, it's, to me, money that can be spent a different way.
Yeah.
So,
well, it's going to be great. And we do know that next year that building will be in good use. And I know you're teaming up with emergency management. I know Pam mentioned that last month as well. So that's going to be a great thing. Well, we will, before we wrap up, of course, we'll make sure people know about some of the other upcoming events for the Health Coalition, when you can go to the meetings and all that stuff. But since we are based in Branson, we kind of do this podcast like a Branson show. We have a pre-show, which is us.
Yes.
And then we bring in the stars of the show.
Yes.
And they are coming up right now. This is the first of three, right? Of series of programs that we're going to have with the College of the Ozarks Nursing Program.
Yes.
And Monica, I will let you introduce our first round of students joining us today.
Okay. Well, we have two students and one of their instructors. Miss Nicole is going to be sharing today about one of our really important health messages in September. Suicide Prevention Week is one of the weeks, but we're just calling it Suicide Prevention Month, not just. But
sure.
Nicole is going to share really about quite a bit of data, statistics, not do a deep dive into it, but she really wants to focus on the prevention side. So she's going to share what she learned about QPR. And of course, I would always come into their classroom if I was invited, and I can actually QPR them if they choose. But this is something we offer throughout the county. And then we also have Elena. Did I say it right?
It's Eliana.
Eliana. I had it right for three times until I had to talk on the radio. I'm so sorry. But she is going to share about Baby Safety Month, which is also September. And she has some great tips. Safe Kids is one of our great partners that we partner with the health department with. But they have amazing things online. She's going to share about some safety tips and things that new parents can do to make the house a little safer. And then our Mrs. T, I always want to say Dr. T, but soon to be, she is one of the great instructors in the CFO nursing program. And I know that she does population health and a few other courses for them. But she's going to share about the C of O program itself and the nursing program, where how it started, where it is now, how it works, all of those good things, and then I'll talk at the end. But I really don't want to talk too much, even though I already did. But Miss Nicole,
well, that's why we get our quota in early.
Yes. So Scott can move us along.
But, absolutely.
I think it's great that they took all of this data very seriously and are going to share some educational tips for those in the Tri-Lakes area.
Well, Eliana, you'll actually have an advantage by going second, because I want to ask Nicole a couple of questions to start that you will get as well, because we always like to get to know you a little bit. So, Nicole, first off, welcome. It is great to meet you. And the question is, where are you from and how in the world did you end up at College of the Ozarks?
Well, thank you for having me on the show. I enjoy being here. And I'm originally from California, and I ended up at College of the Ozarks. I found out through a couple of ways. One of them was reading a book titled Created and Called, and the author of the book's name is Chelsea Harris, and she's a former professor at College of the Ozarks, nursing professor. And as I was reading the book, it's about how God places a calling on our life, and that kind of aligned with how I felt God was leading me into nursing. So I started looking into College of the Ozarks, and long story short, I ended up out here.
So California to here, that's yes. And it there's no doubt. And I have never personally visited California, but I know a lot of folks that have. A little bit different environment, isn't it?
Yes, it's quite a bit different. I really appreciate out here. There's a big people factor, and I really enjoy that because I love people, getting mm-hmm. to know them and just having that personal factor.
And was that one of the things that led you into being interested in nursing to begin with?
Yes, that was part of it. I wanted to help people, and when in nursing you have the opportunity to help and serve people who are in a vulnerable state where it's not usually, people don't usually want to be there mm-hmm. Because it's a difficult time. And so I wanted to be able to help them and minister to them through helping take care of them physically as well.
So are you a senior this year?
I am.
You're a senior, so you're getting close to being done.
Yep, so, almost there.
So if I'm doing the math right, it was probably about the time you got to college that we really started to see a national emphasis more on mental health, more on suicide prevention. Certainly the COVID pandemic really upped the ante there, no question
yes,
about that,
yes.
And personal mental health came into this. And I know one of the things you're going to talk about today is some information about suicide prevention. What do you have to pass along to us?
Yeah, so I have a little bit of information about suicide prevention. So first off, why it's important. Like you were saying, suicide is becoming increasingly prevalent. In the years between 2009 and 2019, there were 88 suicide deaths in Stone County, and it is the 16th leading cause of death in Missouri. And because this is becoming more prevalent, it's important first for people who may be struggling with thoughts of suicide to be aware of resources that can help them through this time. It's also helpful for people in the community to be aware of what they can do to help friends or neighbors or coworkers who may be struggling as well, and what kind of resources they can provide as well. So first, a little bit of information on suicide. Most people who are struggling with suicidal thoughts do not want to die. They are usually looking for a way to work through pain, and through their words and their actions, they're asking someone, inviting someone to help them to make a choice for life. And words can include just leaving open statements that are asking for validation, wanting to be told that they're needed, or actions can include giving away prized possessions or withdrawing from different social situations. And then some resources for people who may be struggling. They have the option to call or text the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline, which the number for that is 988. And when they call this number, they'll be connected to a crisis counselor who will first listen to what they have to say and then try to understand why the current problem is affecting them in this way. The counselor will also provide support and share resources so they can get further help for what they need. And it's different from 911 because it's more geared toward providing the support for the nation's growing need for mental health support, as well as suicide support and helping someone who's struggling with that. And there's a small percent of those calls that would require an activation of 911. That's really a last resort and usually with consent of the caller, just to try to help someone who has no other option for a way for help if they want to harm themselves or others. That would require activation of 911, but it's more focused towards providing support and listening to someone who's struggling. And then those who want to be involved in helping other people in their community who may be struggling, there's a huge emphasis on early recognition and the warning signs. And so the number of people who attempted suicide is almost half of the number of people who seriously contemplated suicide in 2022. So that just kind of points to catching those early warning signs, being able to prevent someone from following through on this action. And then, as Monica mentioned, there's QPR, which stands for Question, Persuade, and Refer. And this is a method of empowering people to reduce suicidal behaviors through proven suicidal prevention training. It's designed to sound kind of like CPR, and they're similar in the way that they help increase survival in a crisis situation. It helps establish gatekeepers, and gatekeepers are people who are trained to recognize early warning signs, and it can be anyone from a nurse to a parent, a friend, a firefighter, just people in the community who can pick up on if something is off with someone. Another option to help people in your community is something called Safe Talk, and it is a 3 to 4 hour training for anyone over the age of 15, and it can help people to learn to recognize signs that are often overlooked, as well as how to connect someone with resources. So if they encounter someone who may be struggling with suicidal thoughts, they can connect them with resources to help them gain the support that they need to help with that. And then for going back to the QPR that I was talking about, someone who is interested in that and receiving that training would contact Monica at Stone County Health Department. And to sign up for that, they would call the phone number 417-357-6134. And so those are just a couple ways, a couple options that people have to help others in their community who may be struggling in this area.
You know, one of the things Monica and I have talked about a lot on these programs, and we've talked about it with other professionals as well, is the fact that now QPR training is really becoming, I won't say exclusively a focus, but one of the hyper focuses is younger people through schools, through some of those types of organizations. You gave the suicide numbers, but, you know, when you look at teen suicide or younger people suicide, mm-hmm. that is even more prevalent. And, you know, every time I hear those numbers, they're just, you know, crazy for me. Mm-hmm. Do you think that by starting QPR at such a young age, that's really going to help maybe a lot of teens that might not have any place else to go?
Yes, I believe so. Because if you're just thinking about your peers and trying to do what you can to help them, but you don't really have the tools to, it can be difficult to know what to say or what to do because you want to help, but you're not quite sure how. Mm-hmm. So having this QPR training can equip them to offer a resource to someone, whether it's referring them to someone who can help them better or just being there in the moment to be able to help walk through that.
Even those of us that speak for a living, and if you ask my wife, I speak a lot for a living. I do talk a lot. But there's always this background fear, whether you're dealing with someone that may be having a serious illness or a family that's going through an issue, maybe a terminal situation. Mm-hmm. But certainly in this case, I always hear the same thing in the back of my head. I don't want to say the wrong thing. Right. I don't want to try to help and end up going the other way, when in fact, it wouldn't it be true, Nicole, that just the presence a lot of times is helping in itself, even when they don't say anything?
Yes, it's true. Being there and being just a listening person, showing your support. We talk about in our nursing classes showing active listening, where you're showing that you're listening and that you want to hear what they have to say. That can help a lot. And like I said, QPR is kind of similar to CPR in that it can increase survival in a crisis situation. So I know when I learned CPR the first time, I was thinking, well, I'm not sure. What if I mess it up? What if I don't do it right? And my instructor was telling me, just do something and that will help.
Yeah, and it really QPR fits in that category. And as you were mm-hmm. saying that, it got me to think the reason people learn CPR is you're really trying to bridge that gap from issue to medical help getting there. And it's kind of the same with QPR. You're trying to bridge that gap between, okay, here's initial help, but let's get them to the right people.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree.
Yeah. Well, Nicole, that was very well said, and we'll circle back around at the end and talk a little bit to make sure, because I know Monica will want to make sure people know, especially about the QPR training, because that is so vital and what all is going on there. So very well done. So,
all right, thank you.
All right. Eliana, you are now up next. So I'm going to ask you, before we go any further, I'm going to ask you the same question I asked Nicole. Let's find out where you're from and how you ended up at College of the Ozarks.
Alrighty. Thank you very much for having me and Nicole today. I'm originally from Nebraska, but my story to C of O is quite interesting. My family and I were missionaries in Costa Rica, actually, for 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we met some College of the Ozarks students that had gone down to Costa Rica for a mission trip.
Yeah. Move that microphone just a little bit closer. There you go. Go ahead. So you're in Costa Rica, huh?
Yes, we were in Costa Rica. And so we met these College of the Ozarks students, and they were telling us about this college where you go and work to pay off your tuition. And we were like, wow, that sounds amazing. We'll have to tuck that away for later. And so high school, I graduate and I'm like, okay, start looking at colleges. College of the Ozarks, top of my list. And here I am.
And what kind of led you into the nursing side of things?
What led me into nursing is that when I was in Costa Rica with my family, I spent a lot of time serving at a children's home. And so I did a lot of stuff with kids and just caring for them. And I saw like opportunities to care for kids, like physically and mentally and spiritually all at the same time. That kind of developed like an attitude of service, and that was something that I realized I had a passion for and I wanted to continue doing for the rest of my life, honestly.
And so it leads you to College of the Ozarks to start the program. Now, are you a senior as well? Or
Yes, sir, I am.
So you're getting ready to be out and about as well.
Yes.
So kind of that, you kind of got the calendar on the wall, both of you right now, don't you? Kind of waiting for that time to get going. I know your topic today is one that's also very important that we talk about very often, and that is Baby Safety Month. So share some of your information, please.
Yes. So Baby Safety Month started in September of 1991. It was sponsored by the Juvenile Products Manufacturers Association. So this association was trying to figure out ways to eliminate the amount of deaths that happened in infants from age 1 to 4, because that's a high statistic right now. The CDC says that babies ages 1 through 4, the leading cause of death for them is actually unintentional injury. And a lot of those things could be prevented if we just learned how to baby-proof the home better. So they started that up in 1991, and they decided to pick the month September because it's the 9th month of the year. And if you think about it, how long are babies in the womb? 9 months. So 9th month of the year is now officially Baby Safety Month. So some big safety tips I was looking into today. One of them was the ABCs of safe sleep. Sleeping is a big thing, I think, with parents and children and babies, because you think about they don't get enough sleep because the babies are up and all sorts of things. So I liked the ABCs of safe sleep because it's an acronym. It's easier to remember. So the A stands for alone. Babies should not be co-sleeping with the parents or siblings. They should be alone in their own crib. So that eliminates, like, if the parent were to roll over and the baby was on one side, or if the baby gets squished or something like that, just keeping the baby alone in the crib, that's a top thing. The B stands for back. The baby should be laying on their back to sleep. They shouldn't be on their stomach, because if they're face down, their head could be not all the way to the side, so then they can't breathe as well, and just on the back helps prevent any choking or suffocation or anything. And then the C stands for clutter-free crib. Two C's in there for that one.
Mm-hmm.
Clutter-free meaning you don't put any toys in with the baby, no blankets, no pillows. Even bumper pads can add just enough cushion that the baby, if the baby starts to roll over, they could have something up too close to their face and, again, cause suffocation or something like that. So even though, like, the toys and the blankets, like, you get so many of them and you just want to put them in the crib with the baby, save them for tummy time or other things instead, like put them away for later. So those are definitely big top things. ABCs of safe sleep, alone, on their back, and clutter-free crib. And then also just going into like the house, looking around, kind of going, what can I do to help make this a safer space for my baby? Is being sure to lock up like any chemicals or medications you have. I also know in this area there's could be a lot of firearms in your house. So lock those away, because if you have a toddler, they're not going to know how to handle that safely. So be sure to lock all of those things up. Another thing is babies often can have burns, unintentional burns. So being sure to check your thermostat and see what is that water temperature like set at. It's recommended that it's set at 120 degrees Fahrenheit max. So if it's above that and you turn on your bath water for your baby and you don't check it before, you could end up having a burn. So definitely check that and make sure it's at 120 degrees Fahrenheit max. Also, installing baby gates. Some houses have lots of stairs or even just like one or two stairs that could still be dangerous if the baby weren't able to see that and kind of tumble down. So be sure to put in baby gates and also covering electrical sockets around the house. A lot of the outlets in houses are close to the ground. Where our baby's crawling around? Close to the ground. So they want to stick things in there or stick their fingers in there, and that's going to be a no-go as well. So definitely covering those up and getting the plastic covers and putting them in there so that way nothing happens there. And lastly, I was just going to highlight car seat safety. We got to take babies everywhere we go, so we just want to make sure that we're looking at the proper car seat guidelines, and there's a lot of them, so I'm not going to go into them a lot here, but I did want to highlight that healthychildren.org is a website that has a whole bunch of specific guidelines on that. It's run by the American Academy of Pediatrics, and they have all the specific guidelines and update them frequently, so that way you can go right there and check, is my car seat appropriate for my baby? Do I have it in the right place in my car? And vice versa. But be sure to check that, because car seats actually do expire, surprisingly. So check them out. Make sure your car seat hasn't expired, and make sure that you're keeping the baby safe in the car. And then lastly, just I think a lot of people, you know, you hear these stories on the news about baby got left in a hot car, overheated. They had to break a window to get the baby out, vice versa. So one thing that they were saying and coaching in this, the American Academy of Pediatrics was saying to kind of when you park your car, you look and you lock. So you do park, look, and lock. So you park the car, you look to check and make sure baby's out of the car, or do I have baby with me and I need to get baby out of the car, or do I have baby toys in the back that I need to like check and make sure there's no baby with those toys, like double checking back seat, and then lock the car. So make sure that you're like going through those steps to get the baby out of the car with you, not leaving the baby alone and unattended in the car, especially because it's been really hot outside these past couple months.
So. Oh, yes, it has. Very, very warm indeed. You know, and it kind of something similar popped into my head when we were talking, Nicole and I were talking about suicide prevention. You know, mm-hmm. I was thinking about, you know, a lot of us don't have the experience of getting down that low where those are your thoughts. And then when you were talking about the issue, which still is there, it's a problem. I don't know how many stories that come across, you know, me working news that I see that a baby was left in a vehicle. A lot of times, luckily, it turns out good, but sometimes it doesn't. And you get to think, well, why? I mean, how could you even do that? Well, Monica and I've had so many conversations about, especially first time moms and parents too. Dad would fall in this category where there's so much going on that it's not beyond the realm of possibility. And I guess mm-hmm. what it kind of points out to me, Eliana, is that it's really important, especially if you're a parent, to maybe seek help, maybe get some backing. That's where all these programs help, don't you think?
Yes, that is totally true. And I know that Monica has many resources if you were to contact her about ways to tips for baby safety, and also definitely checking into websites and getting like acronyms and things in your mind, such as like the park, look, and lock, like keeping those three steps that you do every time you leave the car, whether you have the baby with you or not. Because if you get in those habits of checking, then that helps prevent future incidents, for
you know,
sure.
The other thing you pointed out, and Monica will get a kick out of this, because I've told many times on this program about my wife Karen and myself, we were watching our niece for the first time, and we had a car seat, but that their parents, her brother and his wife, had given us. And when the car seat didn't quite fit into the car, we were just like going, we don't know what to do here. We called them and got help. But the one thing is, we were not budging that vehicle out there until we got it figured out, because we were not going to do that. By the way, Monica, that little baby's now in sixth grade, just to show you how long ago that was. That, yeah, she's a sixth grader now, so that shows you how long. But it's those type of things that are so important, isn't it? To really, you know, there's not, I don't think, enough things that you can do to really make sure those babies are safe.
Yes, yes. There's always definitely more you can be doing. And it's also just putting into practice the things that you already know. I think a lot of people, like, they know to do something, but do they forget to practice it? Absolutely. So I think double checking and getting, you know, accountability in this and talking to other parents, like, hey, what have you done around your house to, you know, help protect your child, or what tips can you give me? So that way we're sharing more information and working together as a community to protect the babies.
And the other thing, it just popped back to my head, but when you were going through a lot of that, there was one C that really fits all this perfectly when it comes to baby, and that is curiosity.
Yep.
Because they are very curious, and so they're going to explore, whether that's seeing that light socket, or, you know, we talked about, what do they call those Tide Pods that you put in washers now that have really become an issue that you got to take care of those. You know, if it's something bright, something colorful, different, they're curious. So they're going to get in there, aren't they?
Yes, that is absolutely true. Definitely kind of like getting on your hands and knees sort of around the house and just thinking, if I were a baby, what would I want to go after? Like, put your mind kind of to the kid level.
Yeah.
What can I do? What can I eliminate? What can I put out of reach? Yeah.
Now, it's okay, adults, to get out of the kid level at some point if you want. But, you know,
yeah,
at least to try to explore that, get into the kid level and be thinking of what they're doing.
Yep, I would recommend that.
Absolutely. Eliana, great job.
Thank you very much.
And so we're going to now meet one of the ladies who helps lead this, and this is Denise Telustis. She is one of the nurses at College of the Ozarks. It's part of the program. And Denise, it is good seeing you again.
Hello, great to be here.
You bet. And I know this is, we were kidding beforehand, this is your annual appearance.
Yes.
On the program.
My September appearance.
You kind of keep the, that's right, I think it has been September every time you've been here. Talk a little bit, first off, on how long you've been with the program.
This is my seventh year teaching at College of the Ozarks. So I've taught the students are here for population health, one of the courses that I teach that they take, and it's the fourth year that I've taught that class.
So what is that class exactly? What does that mean?
Yeah, population health is helping students to learn to assess and care for their community. So thinking about health on a larger scale rather than one individual patient that you're taking care of at the hospital. Instead, you're thinking about a whole community, which Monica is such an expert at, taking care of a whole community like Stone County or Branson, or maybe a population group like infants or teenagers. We're trying to teach them to assess things on a larger scale.
You know, it's interesting, when we were standing outside to talking before we started, we were having this conversation about, you know, how the medical field is not, I mean, certainly treatment is still kind of the foundation, but a lot of it is getting information out not only to a patient or a family, to a community, which basically we're doing here today. I mean, this is the whole purpose of this particular program. This has really been more of an emphasis, hasn't it?
Yes, we really focus on prevention, health prevention, and promotion of health, and a big way to do that is through educating people. And so super thrilled that they had the opportunity today to just do a little bit of that here with you.
Yes, and did an outstanding job, by the way. I could see, you didn't see it, but she was in there nodding her head.
Yes, I'm very proud.
And in fact, Monica was nodding her head so much, one of you may need to check her neck. She might have got a crick in her neck after doing that. Exactly. Denise, how long has the CVO nursing program been around?
The first graduating class was in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had many classes since then. And it is a 4 years Bachelor of Science in Nursing degree that they get when they graduate.
Mm-hmm.
You still have to pass the NCLEX, the Nursing Licensure Exam, to be an RN, which you do at every nursing program. But that's a little bit how long we've been there.
Wow. And I know in past there's been such a great rate of folks coming out of the program, graduating, and then getting into the medical field. Are we still in a situation right now, Denise, where we're really needing to continue to, I guess the best way to say, to repopulate a lot of these facilities with qualified professionals?
Absolutely. There's definitely a nursing shortage, and really just a healthcare workforce shortage.
Mm-hmm.
So we definitely need nurses. So it's a great honor of mine to get to train nurses. And then most of them work in our local community, local hospitals in this Southwest Missouri area.
If someone is interested in being a nurse, and let's focus specifically on this, maybe they're listening to this and this is, you know, kind of like Nicole and Eliana did here. They at some point said, hey, this is going to be for me, and took that next step. Before getting into something like this, what is something they should consider in making this decision?
I think the biggest thing is you have to have a heart to serve people. Really, nursing is about serving, giving of yourself for someone else, to feel better, to get better, If you don't want to serve, we just say from the get-go, it's not for you. Yeah. And that's okay. There's plenty of other things to do. But really, you have to have a heart to serve and to help. And that's why most students get into it. They say, I really just want to help someone, and I need the skills and ability to do that.
Well, and one thing, I remember for all the interviews we've done with the CFO nursing program folks, and that is part of the curriculum you teach, is that caring aspect and is that relatability. I mean, that is part of one of the pillars you come out of there with.
Absolutely.
Right?
We're a very character-driven program. That's one of our mission statements, is that we're character-driven.
Mm-hmm.
And so we really want to cultivate in our students a heart of gratitude and a heart of service. And one of the ways we do that, particularly in this population health class, is in our community. So they have what we call servant leadership hours, where they serve in the community. They have done that in the past with Monica at Fair on the Square.
Yeah.
And in lots of others, she's always like, come, I've got a million opportunities for you to serve. She loves having them. But they also do that in many other ways. Elevate Branson was mentioned earlier. Our students have served there in the past. Lots of other local organizations.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know if I've ever asked you this question, but it seems like you've been there, you said 7 years
mm-hmm.
now. So obviously you're still getting something out of this because you're still around and it seems like you're still enjoying what you do.
Oh, I love it. I absolutely love it. I love teaching. I think I told my students in class yesterday, if I don't like teaching it, what am I doing?
Yeah.
So I just love all the different things that I get to do. I love mentoring students, watching them grow. I also get to teach one of the first classes they take. It's a health promotion course, and I teach the very last class that they take. And so I love watching the journey as they grow in skill and character and become nurses. Like, I get to see the whole transformation, and it's a wonderful joy.
Well, Denise, I am glad you we made this September date again.
Yes.
And so, in fact, we'll already have you down for next September.
Okay, very good.
For a new set of students. I want to ask them one more question. Monica, we'll get back on the mic and we'll kind of wrap things up, because one thing Nicole and Eliana, I didn't ask you earlier, is now that you're getting ready to graduate, you're looking forward to being out, where do you see your career taking you once you leave, Nicole?
So I'm still praying about the details of it, and something that Eliana and I have in common is we both like pediatrics, so I like working with kids. So right now I'm thinking that I'll move forward with that and probably be working with kids. I'm excited because I have some of those clinicals this semester, so I'm going to get a feel for what it's like working with kids in a hospital setting. So that's kind of a general answer of the direction where I'm going.
All right, Eliana?
I'm definitely looking into the pediatric side of nursing as well. Nicole and I definitely have that in common. And one thing that's also the Lord has kind of been bringing about for me this past year and inspiring in me with people like Mrs. T and other professors in the program is actually like the education side of nursing, like teaching nursing students that way they can go out and continue serving other people, like giving back in that way. So I'm definitely looking into potentially going back to school after a couple of years and maybe becoming a nursing professor myself.
Mm-hmm. Well, very good. And we wish you both the best of luck. We do thank you for coming and enjoying us today. And it was great seeing you. And Monica, I don't know why we always have information after they're done.
Right.
Because we can't follow
right.
this.
Right, I know. And so I had so many notes in my mind, and then I didn't have my paper, and I thought, you know, you are such an amazing host. I mean, of course, you're one of our greatest coalition members, and I'm so excited that someday you'll get to come to our meeting.
Yes, but we're working
on
that
today. I
mean,
you had one of the characteristics that they really cultivate with the future nurses, and that spirit of gratitude and what Denise was sharing about. So I'm just so grateful, not only for everything that you guys shared today, and thank you for promoting QPR, Nicole, and Ileana, thank you for promoting all of the safe tips, but also just know, you know, we do install free car seats. So I know when that was happening with you, I don't know if I was an installer yet, Scott, but I would help you on any day to install a car seat. So that's possible at the health department. But I did just want to kind of wrap everything up by giving a couple shout outs, because I think not only am I so excited that we get to partner with CFO and Denise and Rebecca and all the students, but there are other people in the coalition that really deserve a highlight. So Tammy McLaughlin, who runs the Stone County Recovery Center, she went to the Suicide Coalition training with me in Columbia. It was long. You know, it was two full days. Mm-hmm. It was out of, you know.
And a three-hour trip up there to begin with.
Right. So a special thanks to her. And we have a lot of tasks that we need to do after. But that's where we get a lot of this information and to be able to do what we do. I also want to give a shout out to Mackenzie, who is with Burl. She has offered to do kind of a second stage because we're so far in QPR in the county. She's willing to do the power brain training, which really ties in a lot more of the brain research and how we can take the behavioral health a little bit more scientifically. So Hurley and Crane and Galena have already signed on to do this training. I'm sure the other schools will too, but special thanks to our schools and Burls for providing that training. And then finally, Mac, who is the president of the Veterans Association for Taney and Stone County, mm-hmm. he's getting six of his veterans trained in QPR.
Oh, nice.
And they're willing to help out with schools, not just the staff, but the students, because the capacity of me to be able to do this for 31,000 people is, you know, beyond, I'm one person. So to have six veterans who are willing to step up, not only do this for their own, but then to help in the community with QPR is just phenomenal. Well, so special thanks to all those guys.
You know, and it's true what we say. We've had a lot of folks that involved with veterans organizations. Veterans just never quit serving. That's what they do.
Right. That's what it ties in to the amazing servant leadership that we see with C of O. And I am always thankful, and these girls will get my spiel a little later about you're welcome anytime to help me with anything because all I need it. But if anything resonates to you and you really want to get involved in the community, we invite anyone and everyone from, you know, individuals to family members, to community members, community leaders, or if you're part of a service organization that wants to be part of something, you can join us on the third Thursday of the month at Southern Stone County Fire Protection District in Branson West from 9 to 10:30. It's completely free. You can connect with 20 to 30 people a month and really kind of delve into what health priorities and how can we help our community.
So, yeah. And keep in mind that if the coalition gets bigger, don't worry. They always have room for one more member.
Absolutely. So every time. That's right, Scott.
If you're an organization or you're maybe even an individual, say, hey, can I help? Get in contact with Monica, and as they told Nicole and Eliana, she will find something.
That's there's right. Plenty. Oh, they're
remember
going.
Remember that big book I was telling you about earlier? That's what the.
They're going to boxing after this for boxing for Parkinson's and to PLL, and I'm squeezing that in before a workout. So they've got a lot going on between now and 1:30. They don't know it, but it's happening.
I'm glad you made sure you said boxing for Parkinson's. That's a great program that you put together. It's just not it's not your fight club in the back or anything.
No. It's very specific, and they're amazing. Scott leads a great class, and usually 8 to 10 people there. So we're just going to go and visit. We're not going to get to box today, but at least they'll get to go to the workouts.
Yeah. And again, all these programs do go through the, not only the health department, but the coalition. And again, if they want more information, you got a website and Facebook page, both, right?
We do for both. So, if you want to check out our website, I'll give you the Stone County Health Department one, and that's www.stonecountyhealthdepartmentalllowercase.com. And then if you are a Facebooker, Stone County Community Health Coalition, and we have Marietta and Abby, and I think we gave permission to somebody else to be able to update a lot of things. So things are happening on those little social media platforms.
And we are in the first third of our three in a series of programs with the College of the Ozarks Nursing Programs. Again, Nicole and Eliana, thanks for coming over today, and good luck to you the rest of the way. Denise, also thank you for coming by. Again, we'll mark the date for next September. We'll see you again then. So, and we will see you again next month, right?
Yes, yes. Two more C of O students.
All right.
All right, Scott.
We continue with our series of programs with the Stone County Community Health Coalition, part of our At Your Service podcast, which is part of the Branson Podcast Network. So now, if you need to go back and listen to some of the other podcasts, including the one we did last month, talk about that new building for the health department with Pam Burnett, But not only the At Your Service podcast, if you're a Kansas City Chiefs football fan, we've got Defending the Chiefs Kingdom up and going now. We've got so many other things. Check it out on the Branson Podcast Network. I'm Scott McCauley, and we'll talk to you next time.